Amen. You may be seated. I am just excited and expectant for what I believe the Lord wants to impart tonight. I've been hearing stories and rumblings and stirrings of what the Lord has been doing among the youth, what the Lord has been doing in our hearts, and it's electrifying, it excites me. And I'm just expectant for the Lord just to take us into another level, take us into a deeper place in His heart, a deeper level and depths of intimacy with the Lord tonight. It's already there. There's a hunger, there's a groan, and there's a stirring in our hearts. I'm just excited and expectant for what the Lord wants to do tonight, what He wants to do tomorrow, what He wants to do on Sunday. It's just been a continuation and a wave of what the Holy Spirit and what the Lord has been speaking to us across the denomination, across this congregation. I just feel His presence tonight. I know many of us do. I'm expecting, I'm excited for what the Lord's going to do. So many of you guys know Aaron. We all know Aaron. Aaron's an amazing man. I was in Cambodia about 6 months ago, and I was on the phone with Aaron. And I asked Aaron, what's happening at camp meeting? Do we have any stories yet? Is there any planning? He said, there's planning. And I said, who's got youth night? Who's got Friday night? And he said, funny you should know. They just asked me, Aaron, you got Friday night. And I said, oh, all right, amen, amen. I said, Aaron, the Lord's been speaking to me. I feel like there's a message in my heart. There's something I feel the Lord wants to do tonight among the youth and amongst everyone here. And I said, what about tag teaming? What about that? What does that look like tonight? And he said, let's pray about it. We come back a week later or so on the phone again. Aaron said, let's do it. Let's do it. And we said, all right, let's go do it. We don't know what it's going to look like tonight, but we're expectant for the Lord to move. The Lord has put a message on our hearts. The Lord has put a message on this congregation tonight. And the message is to press into the Lord, to go after Him, to run with the grace He has given us, to run after His heart with all that we are, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to say, Lord, You are worthy and You are holy, and it is due Your reward to receive Your reward of Your suffering through us, God. We want to give You our lives, we want to give You our devotions, and say yes and amen to the things and purposes, Lord, that You have on the earth. Not even over United Zion, but what You have on the earth, Lord, we want to partner with You tonight. And I believe the Lord is stirring a groan and an awakening amongst the hearts of the youth throughout America and throughout this denomination. And saying, come after My heart. Come after My heart. I want to show you things. I want to show you deep things in My heart. And come after Me. That being said, Aaron can take it from here.
We were a little curious how the whole transition aspect would fly, so you guys are in it with us tonight. My prayer is that you didn't come for normal. That's a deep cry in my heart, is that the expectation would be that the Lord would do something new. And I just want to say you're in an awesome place if you just went through worship and went through that little time we had after, and you had no clue what was happening, because we're not singing. And we're not really doing anything, because the disciples were in the exact same position following Jesus. They had no clue what was going on. So if that's you tonight, you're there. You're right where you need to be. So yeah, just reflecting on devotion and you're in this journey with us. We were trying to figure out how to tie these things together. And so we're going to get after devotion. We're going to get after the grace to devote yourself. So often in my life, I heard of grace, heard it taught. Grace is an undeserved gift, and it is very much so, an undeserved gift. Often used in times of reflection on, oh man, I just screwed up. Yeah, there's grace for that. There's grace to get out of the hole. But just what I felt the Lord was sharing for me personally to bring to you tonight is that it's so much more than just the grace to get out of the hole. It's the grace to run. It's the grace to be free, to do things you don't think you can do, to be a person you never dreamed you would be. Right here I am, operating in the grace of the Lord. I'm pretty timid person usually, when Gary asked me to share, it was not something where I'm like, yes, I'm gifted in sharing, I'm going to do it because that's what the Lord called me to do. It's the exact opposite. Just up here to serve, knowing that the grace of God will sustain me and lead me through. So I was beyond excited to do that, beyond excited to share this with Bradley. What was it, 2017 that we went to Cambodia, or 18? It's 2017. I got to tag along on his DTS outreach, and we were the only two guys, so naturally you get pretty close. Just blessed to be up here with Brad. You could say it's an answer to a dream of my heart that I didn't even know I had, so praise the Lord. We're living in some wild times, yes? Can we all agree? But I would love to offer this as well, that we are living in a time now that there has never been a greater time for in the church. The church is larger than ever before at this point right now. The church is growing faster and more expansive ways than ever before in this time where you find yourself right now. More people know Jesus in all of the world than at any time ever on earth. And I don't know if you can say this biblically, but just because the numbers are bigger, you can say that God is receiving more glory now than in any other time in the history of this earth. I don't know how that works with heaven and its angels and everything. But for us, that's for us. And so our heart this evening, is just to kind of collectively open our eyes to the urgency of the hour, is a phrase I'll borrow from a guy named Corey Russell. The urgency of the hour, just how in need the world is in this moment and in every moment. So that's what we're going to lean on. I was reading a book by Lauren Cunningham not that long ago, and the book was published in 1989, and he was talking about Jesus going to all the nations of the earth and the 5 billion people that were in the earth in 1989. If you're unaware, there are currently roughly 7 billion people in our earth now. So in just 40 years, 2 billion people have been added to the earth, roughly. So I'm not a math guy, but for the next 40, how many would that be with multiplication and everything? So the gospel is going forth, and there's just more and more people to hear about it and more people to praise Jesus' name. So we don't want to miss it. We don't want to be, and we're not. We don't want to be part of the wagon that says, but God, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? We want to be right beside him, knowing full well who we are as represented by Jesus Christ before the Father. There's a song by Keith Green called The Sheep and the Goats that many of you would probably know that speaks to this. And so, we just want to be right there. We want to know what the Lord is leading us into personally and what the Lord is leading us into as a congregation. And so that's what we're going to dive into tonight.
Yeah, there is an urgency in the heart of God. There's an urge in the heart of God like no other. There's 7 billion people on the face of the earth. And there is an urgency in the heart of God that there will be worshipers all around the world crying out, giving incense to his name day and night. There's an urgency in the heart of God. And I believe tonight with United Zion, the youth of United Zion, there's an invitation to press in and say, God, there's an urgency, God. And I want to partner with that urgency and say, God, I want you to receive the reward of your suffering. There's a pursuit of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:17-18 says, Lord, we cry out for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are. There's an urgency in the heart, God, and we don't know what we can do. We are clueless without you. We need your grace, God, to partner with the urgency on your heart and saying, God, raise up worshipers, raise up laborers, raise up worshipers, God, to partner with you. And because there's an urgency in the heart of God, there's just as an urgent need among us, among our denomination, among our congregation, among the church globally to press in and say, God, what are you saying in this hour, the finest hour, the 11th hour, what are you saying among us? And I believe there's an invitation in this generation, among the youth of this generation. I believe there's an invitation from the Lord to say, generation, come up here, come higher. Get a greater glimpse of my glory. Get a greater glimpse of my splendor. Revelation 4 says, come up here, beloved. Come up here. And I believe there's an awakening, an invitation from the Lord to say, this generation needs to go higher. We need to press into the Lord like no other, because there's seven people on the face of the earth, yes. But we know, biblical narrative, that the wheat and tares grow together and that we're getting closer to the end times. We're in the last days. But yeah, we know the biblical narrative that the wheat and tares grow together, that with the kingdom of God advancing and the darkness advancing, there's going to be a war at the end of the age. And we know that we win at the end of the age, but we need a partnership with the Holy Spirit and say we need to rise up and partner with him and go where he's going, to come up to where he's coming. And I believe he's inviting us for a greater invitation to come up higher. And in the Western church around the world, from what I've seen, what I generally see that is acceptable and called normalcy in the Western church does not move heaven, nor does it move earth. And I believe we are a generation now that God is calling us to say, we need worshipers that will move heaven and move earth, that your name is known in heaven and in hell, that demons flee and angels rise up and worship the Lord, because it's a generation that has locked eyes with Jesus, that has come up even greater. And I believe that's an invitation with the youth, with a hunger there. There's a stirring there. There's a thirst there. And the Lord is saying, come, follow me. Catch the wave. Catch the wave. Catch the hunger. And never let it die out. Never let it run away. In John 1:29, when John is talking to the disciples and he's baptizing in the Jordan River, he sees a man walking and he's got a revelation of who the Son of Man is. And he says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And I believe the Lord is saying to us tonight, let's behold him. We've been beholding him all week. Let's continue to do that. Let's not just have this a one-week meeting, a tradition every year, but let it be a habitation of a 3 to 5 year decade down the road. We can look back and say, 2021 camp meeting, the Lord marked us and touched us, and we touched heaven, and we beheld the Lamb of God. We saw what he was looking at. We saw the eyes of fire, the devotion in his eyes. The Lord is raising a generation up for hunger and intimacy after his heart. He wants us to run after with the grace that the Lord has already given us. The grace is already there. He's already said it. It's the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew. The grace is already there, and the Lord is saying, will you partner with me? Will you take the baton and run with me to glory? Run with me and see my name may be made famous across the face of the earth. I believe the Lord is raising up a generation here among us that we will be caught up in the beauty of the Lord. Psalms 27:4, probably my life verse, familiarly known. King David crying out to the Lord in his ups and downs. He cries out to the Lord and he said, there's one desire, one thing I seek after, one desire. He's the king of entire Israel. He's king of Judah. But there's one desire in his own heart. And he says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, that which I seek, that which I desire, is to behold the glory of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple, and to seek after him all his days. That was his one pursuit, that was his one desire, and I believe the Lord is wanting to impart that to me, to impart that to us as a generation, and say, God, we want to have a one soul desire, we want to have a one soul pursuit, dove eyes, singly focused, going after the heart of God in this hour. Because, beloved, we cannot wait. There's an urgency in the heart of God. We want to partner with the Lord and say, Jesus, we want you to receive the reward of your suffering. We want your name to be made known on the face of the earth. God wants to fascinate this generation again, I believe. And I believe he wants us to be fascinated by who he is. And I believe there's a prophetic shift happening in the body of Christ across the Western church, across the entire world. I believe the prophetic shift that we're walking into in this next decade, and in this decade that we're walking into, where we'll see men and women who are after the Lord's heart rise up and say, no, we stand on the word of God. We stand on biblical truth, and there will be a generation that fades away because they were in the sand. And I believe there's an urgency in the heart of God in saying, don't be the ones in the sand, but stand on the word of God. Stand on the truth of the word of God. But the only way we're going to be able to stand on the word of God and the truth of the word of God is if we partner with him and run after his word. Run after who he is. Read the Bible daily and seek his face like the generation that seeks the face of God. Like the generation that seeks the face of God. I believe this is already in our hearts. It's already been stirring. It's just language and articulation to what I believe the Lord is inviting us into. There's a deep pleasure and a delight in the face of the Lord when he finds faith on the earth and when he finds a people, a remnant, a pocket, a fiery-eyed believers, fiery-eyed revivalists and revolutionaries that want to take the sword, that take the spirit of the sword and run after the world and say, no, we're going to see the name of Jesus made famous on the earth. A few weeks ago, I heard a message at YM Lancaster, and there was a man. He was living in Kenya, a missionary for many years, living in Kenya, still is. And he had a message saying that, we know what a mask is. I don't have a mask on my face, but we know what a mask is in this day and age now. It's a mask of fear. It symbolizes fear, and it symbolizes COVID in a sense. But behind there, the real pursuit of it is fear. And that's been spread all around the face of the earth. But what is it now that we have in our hand? A sword, a Bible, the name of Jesus that's supposed to be spread around the entire world. And I believe that's what the Lord is inviting us into. Again, our depths of intimacy and hunger and boldness and desire. Desire to behold the beauty of the Lord and to make his name made famous all across the earth. I believe God is raising up a youth generation that is yoked and addicted to Jesus. We've heard stories of old. We have heard stories of church history, of the apostles and the disciples, and throughout the years to come until 2020, 2021, of church history, of men and women who were addicted and were going after the Lord, who were yoked to Jesus and made transformation. We think of Martin Luther, John Wesley, George Whitefield, First Great Awakening, Second Great Awakening, men, the Moravians, a prayer movement, a prayer and missions movement getting birthed in the 1700s. It's throughout all of age, and I believe the Lord is saying it's 2020, the year that everyone thought, oh, we're going after the sword, and then boom, COVID hits. And he's inviting us to say, are you still in with me? Are you still partnering with my heart? Are you still partnering with the dreams and plans that I have to say, 2020 wasn't it. That wasn't the year. There's still years and decades, and I believe the Lord, as it's closing into the end of the age in the last days that we are living in, I believe the Lord is saying, will you still remain with me? Will you be steadfast and partner with my heart in seeing a generation know the Lord? To see a generation, the generation of the Lord return, I believe, is in this next few years. It's in this next few years. We're in a generation. The Lord is coming quickly, and he's hastening today. We're hastening today with our prayers, and it's coming. And I believe the Lord wants us to partner with that and say, we are all in, Lord. We are all in to see your name made famous on the earth so that none shall perish, God. Our heart's desire is to partner with you, and you desire that none shall perish, Lord. We want to pursue after the knowledge of God, the revelation of God. John 17:24, Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he's going up to the cross. He cries out to the Lord and says, I desire. There's a dream, there's a desire, and there's affection coming from the Son of Man, a real man on a throne. He says, Lord, I desire that they may be one as we are one. The Lord wants a generation to lock eyes with him, to see and behold the Lamb of God and be one with him. The hour that we are in does not call, I believe, for a passive, half-hearted Christianity. I'm not pointing the finger, it's on me. But throughout all of the Bible, there was never half-hearted Christianity, passivity. There was always full force, advancing, offensive gospel, pursuing after those all across the world, and it was a wholehearted pursuit. The Lord calls us, the first and greatest commandment, Deuteronomy 6:4. Matthew 24, the Lord says, the first and greatest command is to love your Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is wholehearted, offensive, saying, Jesus, we want you. And there's a youth here that is hungry and thirsting, saying, we want you, Lord, come and send revival. Send an awakening, send in a stirring. There's a grace there, there's a zeal there, and it's by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. Psalms 132, there's a key word in there, and it says, until Solomon in his day has the reign of Israel, is taken over Judah, the whole kingdom. David, his father, the great man, the great king of Israel, they sing songs about him, tens and ten thousands, that's him. He's got big shoes to fill. But Solomon, in the Psalms, in Psalms 132, he cries out and says, remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord. Until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. That's the word right there, until. I believe there's a generation that the Lord's calling forth and arising and awakening within our congregation, a generation that says, we will not stop, we will not give sleep to our eyes or slumber to our eyelids until a generation has fully known the name of Jesus, until our generation, the Gen Z, the millennial generation, has known the face of God, has seen the face of God, has known the name of Jesus. We will not stop, we will not get sleep, we will press into the Lord and say, God, do it again in our midst. It is not okay to have it in our earlier generation. It's not okay to have it in our followers' generation. God, I want it today. I want it now. I want the Lord to move now in our midst. And the Lord is calling us forth. A generation, I'm looking here. I heard the stories. I've seen your parents. They're saying there's a hunger and a thirst. And I want you guys to catch a hold of that and have permission to go as far as you want, to go as far as the Lord will humanly give the human spirit, as far as the Lord will give the power of the Holy Spirit to a human heart, run with and have permission to run after God. When you're in your 30s, you'll look back and say, I had no regrets. You'll look back and say, I had no regrets that I went hard after God in my 20s. I gave up meals. I gave up Friday nights and Saturday nights, but I went to prayer meetings. I spent time with the Lord, and I pressed into the Lord. The Lord's grace is there, and he's giving a permission to a generation to say, come after my heart. Seek my face like David. Seek my face as Solomon, as the prophets of old sought my face and declared the relevant word to a generation and said, the Lord is coming. Return back to the Lord. Return our generation back to the Lord. Partner with the Holy Spirit. He's already wanting it. He's already desiring it. We are partnering with him to see that fulfilled in our generation. A millennial Gen Z generation, we see the statistics. We hear the stories. But I believe there's a biblical narrative, a higher up narrative, a principality narrative from the angelic visions, from the angelic realm. Jesus is saying, Gen Z generation, millennial generation is my generation. It's not the world's generation, but I'm calling a fourth a generation to lock in, press into my heart to see this generation that the world's saying is far from it. But we're going to shift the narrative and say, no, not in my day and not in my hour. I see what the Bible is saying, and I'm going to be a generation to pray and to fast and to press into the heart of God and say, Lord, we're going to pursue you, and we're going to take others with you. There's a grace for that. There's a zeal for that. And the Lord desires for that. And I'm just saying, beloved, lock into God. Press into him. He wants a generation addicted to his face, addicted and yoked to the Lord. Addicted and yoked to the Lord.
Yeah, we're in a place right now where we find ourselves much like Peter. He's the guy that gets made fun of the most, but in many ways we can relate. I just want to read out of Luke. It says, and Jesus made the disciples get in a boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come and walk to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So we're here. If you're like me, you're fired up right now after what he just said. And it's like, Jesus, not is that you, like Peter says, but Jesus, this is you right now, crying to my heart these things, this urgency of where we're at. And Jesus is just saying, come. It's like, I don't know what this holds, what this looks like in my life, what radical faith looks like, what devoting every single thing in my life to Jesus Christ looks like. I don't know how. I won't know how probably for a long time, but he's saying, come. So what do? I just take a step, just one simple step. And you know what? I fall. I'm 26 now, 25. I will be 26. I've been falling for my whole life, and that's just the way it is. But Jesus, in his faithfulness, reaches immediately to grab me. So I stand in faith, and I run, and I press hard towards the goals that he's given me in my life, and I fall. But immediately, Jesus Christ reaches out to grab me. So I can run with no fear. No fear in my heart for what might come. I could go on, and I'm sure we all could, about our experiences with the Lord. And all of them, I'm just like, oh my goodness, how, why? Like, it blows my mind because he's so faithful. And every single time, immediately, he picks me up. Yeah, he's wildly faithful. And the faith of Peter, can we all have that? Lord, if it's you, command me to come out there. Like, just tell me what to do, Jesus. Tell me where to go. Send me anywhere, and I'll go. And he goes out onto the water. Something not possible for man, but extremely possible with Jesus Christ. To the point where it brings all those around him, his disciples in the boat, to say, truly, you are the Son of God. That's the call on our lives, to just simply take the step out into the water with Jesus, to fail. It's not what the Lord wants. It's not his call on our lives. But it happens, and it's just part of it. So get used to it. I welcome you to fail. Jesus does, and he's faithful to reach immediately into the water to take hold of you. Yeah, it's a good word to hang on to.
Yeah. The word of the Lord is saying, come, Peter, come, walk in the water, I've got you. There is a security there, there is the assurance of who our Lord is. When he calls us, he equipped us, and he's there, he puts parameters around us, and he says, I got you. Come out where I'm at. Come follow me where I'm going. Peter, out of the zeal, out of the nervousness, he doesn't know what he's doing, an impossible task, steps out. And the Lord's got him. Jesus, the Son of God, has got him. There's a man in the Bible. We all know him. There's probably many men out here that are identified with this man, who have gotten words, or people have spoken and prayed over their life, said, this is who you are. You look around, I see many people with this anointing, with this mantle. I think of the man Moses, a faithful man who didn't know what he was doing whatsoever. Had no clue. Lord calls him, burning bush moment. The Lord calls him, stumbling in the speech, a little bit of unbelief, a little bit of nervousness, zealousness, but he says yes to the Lord. And the Lord is with him. And there's that hope and that assurance and security. That's who our God is. He is good and he's faithful. And there's many Moseses in this room that have paved a way for a generation to walk into the promised land. Have paved a way to walk into the promised land and said, we have treaded here. We have walked here. Will the next generation follow us and follow where the Lord is going? And you'll hear me say it a lot tonight. I've already done it a lot already. Probably overused the word already, but I believe the Lord is raising up the next generation. What's the next generation? It's the Joshua generation. And specifically in Exodus 33. Exodus 33:11. He's got big shoes to fill as well. But the Lord is there. Exodus 33:11. He sees the stories. He sees the encounter that Moses, our grandfathers, our fathers, our mothers, our spiritual mentors have walked in and have the wisdom of the Lord because they dedicated their lives and said, God, I'm going to pursue after you. And I believe the Lord is raising up a Joshua generation. And what does a Joshua generation mean? It means an Exodus 33:11 generation where Joshua says in the scripture that when Moses would leave, Joshua would not depart from the tent of meeting. Moses was in the tent of meeting, encounters the Lord in mighty ways, but when he left, Joshua would linger there with the Lord. He would not depart from the tent of meeting because he saw something, he saw the hope, he saw the security, he saw the assurance, and he knew that we needed the Lord more than ever. It's a Joshua generation who is addicted to the Lord's presence, who will not depart from the tent of meeting. A Joshua generation where I believe I'm looking at a bunch of Joshuas and a bunch of Moseses, where they paved a way and said, who's going to take the mantle? Who's going to walk in? Who's going to walk in to the roads that we've paved and say, Lord, we're not going to let it go. We're going to follow in pursuit after you, Jesus. Peter saw where the Lord was going, really nervous, really insecure, doesn't know what's happening, but he steps out anyway and says, God, I'm saying yes. I'm signing up and I'm saying yes to you, Lord. I'm signing up and I'm saying yes. I'm saying no to the cultural demands. I'm saying no to the world and what other people might say or think. And I'm saying yes to you because I've seen you out there. And I know wherever you are at, Lord, that's the safest place to be. Wherever you are at, Jesus, is where I want to be. And that was Joshua. He said, Lord, I'm not departing from the tent of meeting. I am not departing from the tent of meeting because this is where the fire is. This is where the wind is. This is where your presence is. And this is where your glory dwells. And to go out into the world that we are in, that we currently live in, we need that glory. We need that Lord. We need the presence of the Lord to be with us and to be among us and to be within us. It's a Joshua generation who are wholehearted, devoted to the Lord, who awaken the dawn with their songs and their cry that will stay up late nights and early mornings crying out to the Lord and saying, God, we need you. This is where you're at and we need you, Lord, to come. And I'm going to partner with you and say, God, wherever I'm at, God, wherever you are at, Lord, I will go. Wherever you are at, Lord, I will go. Sum it all up, the Lord is saying, why are we saying this? What's the heartbeat? What's the posture of our hearts each and every day to set a whole week off, take off work? What's the posture of our hearts to say we're going to partner and say yes to the Lord and we're going to give our lives to this? It's simple. We ended with it. He is worthy. He is worthy of it. We owe our lives to him. It's not a heavy burden. It's not a heavy thing, but it's a light, joyful thing to say, I get to partner with the creator of the whole universe, every fiber of my being. I get to partner with the Lord who is jealous and has a big, burning smile and eyes of fire, a fiery devotion in his eyes that longs for people to know him and to encounter freedom, joy, peace, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to encounter him. And we know when we get close to the Lord's heart, when we are in the glory, when we're in near to him, when we are pursuing after the revelation of Jesus, it is the most joyful place. It is the most beautiful, glorious place that we do not want to leave and depart from it. It is glorious. And that was what Peter saw in the man Jesus. That's what Joshua saw in the man Moses. I'm saying, generation, lock on. See the face of God. Press in and say, God, we're signing up. We don't know what it looks like, but we are signing up and saying yes to the cause, yes to your heart, yes to your dreams and your plans, Jesus. I believe now is the time to press in to the Lord, and now is the time for deep intimacy with the Lord like no other. As this generation is shifting, as we are walking into a next decade where secular humanism is rising and there's different ideologies and false worldviews, now is the time to press in to intimacy with the Lord and saying, God, to be able to confront that, to be able to combat that, we need to be locked and yoked to Jesus. We need to be locked and connected to the narrative of heaven to be able to walk in there with our identity secure and founded in who He is. To be able to minister and to be able to combat the principalities and darkness around us and to be the light to the generation that is crying out. In all reality, we look at it as the evil versus good, bad people versus the good people. But in all reality, they do not know what they are doing. In their spirit, they are groaning and crying out for Jesus. They're crying out for Jesus, whether they know it or not. All creation is groaning for sons and daughters to rise up and walk in their bridal identity as sons and daughters partnering with the beloved bridegroom. The Lord desires this and He is jealous for this. My favorite character nature of God is that He's a jealous God. He is a jealous God who burns jealously for His sons and daughters. Who burns jealously for His sons and daughters to run after Him, to be connected with Him, to not go and slide to the world to get swayed by every wind of doctrine, but a God who is jealous and burns jealously, meaning there's not two or three, there's only one. There's only one voice that matters, one voice and one opinion that matters, and it is the Son of God. Peter knew there was one voice, come out. There was one voice. He said, that's the voice that matters. And He took a step. He took a step out there and He said, yes, Lord. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it is, but I know that You are there. And I'd rather be with You where You're at than no other place. Because this is who the Lord is. He is good. He's filled with joy. And His heart is for this.
Yeah, this thing of devotion and intimacy follows many of the people that we look at in the Bible, one of which is Noah, and we hear much of the flood and his life after the flood. But I was leaning into this a little bit, looking more at his life, and I just want to know more because right here, my Bible prefaces it, Noah and the flood, and says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And that's the introduction that they give Noah. And not much more is said. But we have the whole book, and we see that the only way you get to that place in your life is if you're doing what Brad's saying, deep intimacy with Jesus. This was pre-Jesus on the cross, and so he wouldn't have addressed Jesus directly. But the faith in his heart was there. To trust God and walk with God in that perfect relationship. It says in verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you. He doesn't just make covenants with free floaters or the ones that are just out there. There's careful study in the heart of the Lord for the ones that He chooses to make covenants with. And He chooses Noah. And that's what we're left with. Noah walked with God. That's it. That's the story. But in that, you see the faithfulness. He was chosen to be the crazy man that builds the ark, and he had no clue. I've never been in a position in my life where I was faced with something supernatural, like walking on water, or supernatural, like building an ark with you and your family. It's wild. I don't know if, I'm sure many of you have been to the life-size ark in Kentucky. And that blows my mind every single time. And why? God placed His dream on Noah's heart to build an ark. It's a wild thing. Because he walked with God. He knew God intimately. He was unstained from the sick world around him. He was focused. He was driven. He recognized in his life that there was one thing that he had to hang on to, and that was God and God alone. All else would fail. And he carried his faith to such a deep level that even though they say it had never rained on the earth, he was building a big ark to prepare for the rain. Even though we've never seen Jesus come on this earth, we're building our ark to prepare for the reign of Jesus Christ, R-E-I-G-N, reign of Jesus Christ in the earth for all eternity.
Noah was a man who walked with God. He walked with God, the crazy man who walked with God, and God is calling each individually, each one of us to walk with God, to be the crazy man. He's called us into each sphere, each sphere of society. He's called us to our neighbors, our friends, the nations. And he's calling us to walk with God and to be the crazy man. In a sense, he's calling us to be a generation that's peculiar and crazy and saying, God, we're going after you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a generation with deep devotion out of their heart, crying out and saying, God, we want you to come. We're in sick and tired of normalcy. We're in sick and tired of just going through the motions, God. When is the raw power of God going to be in our midst like the stories of old? Lord, we want the Ancient of Days. We want the stories of old. When are those stories going to happen? But it's going to start with a man who's blameless. It's going to start with a woman, a son, and a daughter who's yoked and devoted to the Lord. It's going to be a generation that prioritizes hosting the presence of God, prioritizing seeking his face and being the crazy one. Moses was the crazy man because no one was doing it. You look out in our generation, no one's doing this. No one's really going after the Lord outside of the church. And even sometimes in the church, I got convicted myself and saying, God, I want to be one going after your heart. God is calling us as the crazy ones against the narrative of the world and saying, come after my heart, walk with me, be devoted to me. And I believe when we see the Lord and the power and the glory and Jesus coming and showing his power and his millennial reign and his greatness and his splendor, the immeasurable, the unsearchable riches and glories of who he is. It's going to start with a generation that all their strength and all their energy and all their time is devoted to be seeking after the face of God. It's already there. It's already among us. It's just language to articulate. Maybe to throw some gasoline on the fire that's already burning to stoke the flame in a sense. The Lord is there and he wants our hearts and he wants this generation. I see it. You're locked in. You want more. You desire more. You want the stories that your grandfathers have told you, what the Lord has done, what your grandmothers have told you. I want those stories for us. I want that story. I want the Lord to be known. I want his name famous on the earth. I'm sick and tired of saying, Lord, complacency and normality doesn't do anything. And we said earlier, we partnered with the Lord earlier and said, God, we want to move heaven. We want to move the earth. We want to see your kingdom come. Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And when I look at heaven, I hear stories of heaven. You read the scriptures of heaven. There's no sickness. It's just singing and praising and glorifying the Lord all the days of our life. And I see it on the earth. And I said, Lord, there's not glory all the days. There's not glory praising your name all the time on the earth. And that's a problem. And we're like, God, we're signing up to see the means to that problem be answered. We are the solution. There's a need, and we are the solution to walk with God, to be the crazy man, and in saying, God, heaven come to earth. Jesus come to earth. Glory fall. Your dwelling come. Jesus desires this. He desires that we are one. And what was in Jesus' heart for oneness was his name, his glory, him being made famous. The revolution of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus, the pursuit of intimacy after who he is holiness, splendor, and a man of unapproachable light and beauty. Psalms 104 says that Jesus, the Lord wraps himself with a garment of light. He is brilliant, he is glorious, and he is shining. Ever always shining, that the seraphim, the burning ones that are circling around his throne, day and night, they do not cease to cry out, holy, holy, holy. He is shining and he is burning. And he's saying, see me, look at me. Because when you look at him, nations change, people change, demonic realms get shattered, darkness flees, and light comes, and the glory of God comes, and peace, joy, hope, and the saving power of who he is. Salvation is released on the earth when they catch a hold of who Jesus is. We have the solution. We have the answer. We have Jesus on the inside of us. And he's calling a groan to come out and say, be bold. Be bold and be the crazy man for me. Walk in faith, whether you know it or not. Walk in faith and take that step. It's a generation of lovesick worshipers crying out day and night to the Lord, filled with the indignation of the Lord, to love what he loves and to hate what he hates. To love what the Lord loves and to hate what he hates. I look throughout scripture. I see one man. There's many men, but one man in particular is the prophet Jeremiah. I believe there's many prophets here, many apostolic people in this room, prophets and priests and Levites in this room, are all priests and Levites in this room. One man, Jeremiah, was filled with the indignation of the Lord. I'm like, Bradley, what does the indignation of the Lord mean? In scripture, what Jeremiah said, it was to love what the Lord loves and to hate what he hates. There's a generation out there that hates what the Lord loves and loves what the Lord hates. And the Lord is raising up a group, a remnant, a pocket, a youth generation to love what the Lord loves and to hate what he hates, to be filled with the indignation of the Lord, which means he did not stand, Jeremiah did not stand in the company of revelers, but he was filled with a zeal and love and a devotion only for the Lord. That was Jeremiah 15. And then five chapters later, Jeremiah 20. It's such a beautiful articulation out of Jeremiah's heart. Because he was filled with the indignation of the Lord, he was passionate, he was fiery, he was filled with zeal and energy and passion for the Lord's name, for the message of the Lord to return a generation back to the Lord. In Jeremiah 20, he cries out and says, Lord, I got a message burning in my heart. I cannot stop speaking it. It's shut up in my bones. It is burning in my heart. But three times in Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord says, Jeremiah, stop praying. But it's funny because Jeremiah goes back to the Lord and says, Lord, I can't. Remember, you filled me with your indignation and it's consumed me. It has filled my heart. It has filled my life. The Lord is calling us to be filled with the indignation of the Lord, to love what he loves and to hate what he hates, to walk in righteousness, holiness, and to feel what he feels, to see what he sees, to dream what he dreams. Intimacy and revelation of who he is, revelation of the Son of God. Revelation 1, John, he says, there's a voice behind me speaking to me. But it wasn't until he turned and behold and looked at the voice. He did a 180 and looked at the voice is where he got awestruck and saw the beauty of the Lord. The eyes of fire, the fire devotion, the description of the Son of Man sitting on a throne with fire in his eyes. It wasn't until he turned and behold the Lord. He's calling us to turn once again. We already have been turning. We already walking in it. It's just a greater invitation and acceleration to say, God, we are fully committed. We are all in. We are vowing and we're committing our lives to turn and behold and to look at the Lord, to be filled with the indignation of the Lord. To press into who he is and to seek his face. Clean hands and a pure heart. Does not lift our souls up to idols or to swear falsely, but to be the generation that seeks God, to seek the face of God. It is a light thing and it is a heavy thing, but it is a glorious, beautiful thing to know and to see that our primary reward on the face of the earth is to see Jesus' name be lifted high. To see Jesus' name be glorified and proclaimed throughout the end of the earth. It's a glorious thing, and as our primary reward, to say, Jesus, Jesus, you be made famous. Not I, but you get all the glory. Not I, but you get all the glory. It's a beautiful thing. And throughout the Bible, I see men and women, prophetess, Hebrew midwives, fear of the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord, men, Enoch, who walked in close fellowship with the Lord. Noah, a man who walked with God. All the prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Malachi. The forerunners, John the Baptist, forerunning, preparing the way. As Aaron said, we're preparing the way, building an ark for Jesus' name to be made famous on the earth, for Jesus to build a tabernacle, a temple, and a sanctuary on the earth. This is his dwelling place. This is his home. We want him to come and fill us so that he may have reign on the earth. It's a generation of forerunners, lovesick worshipers, prophetic voices, trumpet bearers, torch bearers, saying, God, we want you and only you. We have a passion for you, Jesus, and only you. I believe he's filled this generation with a groan and a hunger for this. And sometimes we just need a permission or four or three crazy guys that are already doing it to say, go and join with them. And the permission is there. You've seen it already. Jesus was the crazy guy. The 11 disciples were the crazy guys. Matthias joined in, so you can say 12. They were the crazy guys going after the Lord in the book of Acts. That was the church. And we look in the book of Acts, and we're always wondering, why don't we see it now in our days? We've gotten to part from the signs and the wonders and the beautiful things of the Lord in the book of Acts and seeing the church be the ecclesia of our day. To be the church, to be the ecclesia filled with signs and wonders, with the heartbeat of heaven, and saying, God, we're all in. We are all in for the Lord, a generation, a Joshua generation, seeking his face and saying, God, I will not depart. I will not depart from the tent of meeting. I will not depart from his face. I will not depart until I see my generation, until we see our generation return to the Lord. Return to the Lord, our generation, to see our generation return to the Lord. It's intimacy. It's pursuit after the holy things of God. It's crying out for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who God is.
Yeah, the worship team could roll up here. Thank you guys, by the way. Honored by your worship for sure. Yeah, it's a lot. I think maybe we got through about half the Bible. We'll do the other half next year. All the good stuff. So I was excited to share with two people because for many reasons, but one, I can just be praying while he's speaking and vice versa. And so just thinking about where we're going to head tonight, what the Lord's looking to do. Could everyone stand? Stand a while. I'm going to have Brad lead us through a prayer of declaration of, like, once again, the devotion of our hearts to Jesus Christ, the same passion that he exhibited on the cross would be the passion that we carry in our hearts to him. And then we'll lean into a song or two and take the next steps. So, yeah, just open your heart to the Lord. And as he's praying, just be asking the Lord for that one step. God, what is it for me? What is my step into the water like Peter? What is my ark? What is your call on my life for this moment in my life? Or maybe the future. Yeah, just ask him what that place is.
Who you are. You are glorious and you are beautiful and you are splendorous, Jesus. And we love you, Lord, and we are signing up once again. We are signing up to say yes to you and say, God, we want your name, who you are, to be made famous on the earth, God. We will vow and commit our lives. We will vow and commit our lives to hunger, to thirsting after you and say, God, have your name great among the nations, all for your glory. So on these first five rows, just repeat after me. Been there, you've seen it all. I just want to repeat after me and say, I declare.
Declare.
I declare.
I declare.
That I'm going to be the one.
I'm going to be the one.
We're signing up, Lord.
Signing up, Lord.
To say yes to you.
Say yes to you.
To say yes to your heart.
Say yes to your heart.
I vow.
I vow.
I commit.
commit
to hunger and thirst after you.
Hunger and thirst after you.
To say yes to you.
To say yes to you.
To love you.
To love you.
With all my heart.
With all my heart.
With all my soul.
With all my soul.
With all my mind.
With all my mind.
And with all my strength.
With all my strength.
I say yes, and I'll be the answer to my generation.
I say yes, and I'll be the answer to my generation.
You see the need, and I say yes to our generation.
I see the need, and I say yes to our generation.
Amen.
There's no place I'd rather be. No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love.
We say yes, Jesus.
Jesus.
2 Timothy 1, Paul is writing to Timothy. And he said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. So we have this commitment, but now we got to do a little fanning. I'm blessed to be part of a congregation that honors generation, that recognizes gifts. And so that's the goal here tonight. We're gonna head and do a little bit of a family moment. For you younger ones, the call is like that of Peter, to just go. But he couldn't do it on his own. He couldn't do it without someone else picking him up and carrying him out of the water. For the middle generation, or the medium one, I like that word. Like Noah, who walked with God and stewarded his gifts well. Keep going. Keep going. Keep pressing in. Maybe you're in a season where you feel like the Lord spoke something to you when you were young. Maybe a camp meeting here when you were 18 or 15. But it was forgotten. It was lost. And he's stirring new fire on it. For the older generation, like Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and like Eunice, his mother, who carried that faith for your lives, your whole life long, we need you. Yeah. This gospel thing is a family thing. It's not meant to be done alone. The gift of God comes through the laying on of hands, and so that's what we're going to do. Going to be a little out of the norm, but I was praying you didn't come for normal. Yeah, so everyone take 2 steps out closer to the aisle and find somebody who's not in your generation, okay? Meet up with someone who's not in your generation and you're gonna pray for them. Go ahead, we can take some time. This doesn't have to be clean or orderly. We're all family here. Feel free to share what the Lord offered to you. The one thing, the next step. Just thank you, Jesus. God, that you created different generations to be different, God. If we were all the same, it'd be pointless. It'd be boring, God, if we were all one like another. Jesus, I praise you for the young generation, God, carrying your fire, your passion. God, I pray out against confusion over their hearts, Lord. Would you bring clarity, Jesus? Would you bring direction in their lives, Lord, and a focused passion on your ways, on your heart, Jesus? Lord, like Peter, to just take the one step, that first step, no fear of failure. No fear of comparison, just a yes to go. God, I thank you for the medium generation, God, the ones who have walked steadfast in your ways, who have walked with you and known you, God, who have seen you guide them through, who have seen you lead them, God, whose testimony is strong in Jesus. Lord, and for the older generation, God, I pray that their hearts would not be left feeling useless in a world that's growing and moving so quickly, Jesus, but that the wisdom that they have to offer, God, from their years of experience in life, God, that there would just be a grace on it to openly share, Lord, a freedom to share, God. Lord, there's no point in our lives where you're ever done working through us, Jesus. Yeah, God, I cry out right now that you would touch each generation specifically, God. Touch each heart specifically, Jesus.